It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. I am your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where I have comedians and writers rewrite famous movies they've never seen, and we read them in studio. Today we are joined by Daniel Van Kirk, the host of Hindsight Podcast, as well as Dumb People Town. Mm-hmm. Daniel, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks. And Pen Pals with Rory Scovel.
And Pen Pals with Rory Scovel, that's right. Just launched here.
And myself.
Also on
It's not just Rory's that I'm helping make.
It's just you and Rory rewriting.
Yeah. Exactly.
Writing letters back and forth.
Yep.
Thanks for being here. Before we get into it, I do want to remind everyone that check out the show's Patreon page. We got a bunch of cool stuff over there. We have bonus scenes. We just had Jean Grey rewrite Bambi. We have Dan Sheehan, who has never seen Pulp Fiction. That scene is up there. We got a bunch of stuff. We got a whole bonus podcast on there going episode by episode. So check out the Patreon at patreon.com/neverseenit, and we'd appreciate it. That's patreon.com/neverseenit. Thank you, everyone, for checking that out. And today, Dan, you've never seen Hoosiers.
I don't think so.
You don't? Yeah.
Because it feels like one of those movies that has permeated so much of, like, pop culture. And if you've watched enough, like, award shows and...
Yeah.
Or, like...
You've seen, like, the Jimmy V Awards enough to get an entire montage of Hoosiers.
Yeah. Or, like, you've just watched, like, enough, like, things. But this was Gene Hackman's career. And I feel like...
Yeah.
I know the movie, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But then even in this, I kept being like, I know a lot about a movie I've never seen.
It kind of...
But that just happens with some films, right?
This is definitely, as far as sports movies, this is definitely one of them.
People love it.
People
get mad.
Yeah.
Like, dudes get mad if you say you haven't seen it. I'm sure women as well. I just haven't encountered any on a personal level, but...
It's really, really, this is one where, of all sports movies, this is one where people will check. There's no one, because sports movies people debate all the time, like, this is a great one, this one doesn't hold up, blah. This one, Hoosiers is, people will vehemently be like, you are wrong.
Right.
If you haven't seen it, or they even
give you
if
the,
you dislike
they give
it.
You, the you never seen it?
Yeah. Oh, before we get too far as well, we're also joined in studio by Matt Brusseau.
Oh,
Matt,
hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
And we will be live scored along with by Yusong once again. Now, before we get into your script, I do want to tease because my dad is back. We have another round of Guess What Movie Trailer Kyle's Dad is Describing, having never had heard of the movie and only having had watched a trailer. Which
can I guess now?
You want? If you guess right now, that yes, you can.
Blade Runner 2049.
No.
Wow.
That's not bad, though. Based on you kind of knew the other ones he'd recently done.
I had a feeling.
No, that's not. So we're going to get... Here's a few seconds of today's dad movie.
Tease it.
Okay. So everything is pretty blue, and he's in the hospital.
Well, all right.
Well,
it's Blade Runner 2050.
Yeah. I'd watch that. I love that movie.
I've never seen either of the Blade Runners.
Really?
Yeah.
They're both phenomenal, but the new one is almost zen-like.
I really...
Like, it feels meditative to just watch it. Did you just have it on?
I saw that. There's a Twitter account that's called, like, Perfect Shots or One Perfect Shot, and they posted a bunch from Blade Runner 2049, and then I looked up more screenshots from the movie because it was so pretty.
It's unreal.
I was like, can I make this movie my wallpaper I've never seen?
I think it did not get the acclaim it should have box office-wise or even, like, Oscar and Golden Globe stuff.
Yeah.
But it's going to be remembered a lot longer than a lot of movies that came out. That
seems
same
to
year.
Happen with grounded science fiction. It's not taken seriously.
Right.
Like, I don't think Children of Men was nominated even for Best Picture.
And that movie
and now
is unreal.
It's most lists best movie of a decade.
Yeah.
I think people just, it starts becoming real for people. And then they're like, oh, I should have paid attention when it was telling me the future.
As the world becomes closer to being Children of Men, actually.
Yeah. Because those movies are good. It also, they're visually stunning, but they also make you think.
Yeah.
And that holds up on any medium. So if you watch it in your own apartment 6 years later, it ends up making you think. And then you're like, this is a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Things that are just popcorn digestible can still be good and fun, and especially comedies can hang around, but a lot of times I just don't think they stick in your mind as much.
Yeah, and some of them are like blockbustery, way better with the crowd, exciting to see in theaters, but then you go home and you rewatch it and you're like, okay, this isn't exactly.
Dude, that shot of Children of Men when they go in the building and then back out.
Yeah.
Was that like 14 minutes without
that cutting? That is, I've probably, as far as good movies, that's probably maybe the one I've seen the most.
Yeah?
I haven't seen it near as much as I've seen like Con Air or Independence Day, which I think are both good movies.
I do as well.
But I wouldn't consider them prestige films. Mm-hmm. As far as like a prestige scholarly film, Children of Men is up there with movies I had to watch for school, all these Hitchcock movies and stuff. But it's like, seeking it on my own, I've probably seen it eight or nine times.
Wow.
If someone tells you haven't seen it, they haven't seen Children of Men, that's the one I'm like, sit down.
Really?
Yeah.
So have you had someone do that one yet?
No, I haven't. I actually have never seen it. No. let's do Hoosiers. Let's get into Hoosiers because this is our first sports movie, I think. Is that
really
right? This is definitely our first sports movie. And I love sports movies. Even when you know what's going to happen.
Have you seen a lot of, like, you've seen Varsity Blues?
I've seen Varsity Blues.
Friday Night Lights?
Friday Night Lights. I've seen the movie. I've never seen the television show.
Okay. Remember the Titans? People love that
TV show. Remember the Titans. Yeah. People do love the television show for Friday Night Lights.
Love it.
And
Have you seen all the football movies? Is that what?
Cause that probably. Was just three. Like, I've definitely seen Rudy.
Yeah.
And I've seen The Program.
I even like The Replacements and these, like,
that was fun.
Can't be worse.
The Longest Yard.
Also
both
fun.
Versions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breaking Away.
I think sports...
You're going to have Breaking Away. Mm-hmm. There's people who haven't seen that, and that's a great film.
Yeah. The sports movies are very easy to put on in the background.
Yeah.
You know?
Sandlot.
Pretty much, yeah. Sandlot. I mean, Sandlot.
Have you
had
Sandlot yet?
No. We'll get someone. Let's Hoosier it up, and let's talk a little bit about sports movies. All right, so you'll be doing our stage directions.
You got it.
And then we have our characters up here at the top. We'll let everyone know who we're going to be playing.
Okay.
So I'll be playing Chip Fairlane and, was that Morse Fairlane?
Uh-huh.
All right.
He is named after the best technology in the town, is that what?
Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
What I wrote.
Well, and I'll also be playing DSL Fairlane. And oh my God, we just got Google Fiber Fairlane.
Oh, nice. Vizio.
So I'll be Chip and Morse.
I'm going to be Roy Courtside and other random team member. And is that refugee?
No, it should referee.
Referee. That makes way more sense.
And you're also your team member, your random team
and
member,
I'm,
Kyle.
I'm random team member.
Yes.
All right.
Ready?
Ready.
Exterior, gravel driveway, dusk. A white teenage boy, Chip Fairlane, dribbles a half-deflated basketball, or tries to. When the ball hits the ground, it stays there. The boy keeps picking it up, tries to dribble again. Every few moments, the boy takes a shot and makes it every time. Sleeping on the porch is a white man, Morse Fairlane. He's disheveled and has empty beer bottles at his feet. An old car pulls into the driveway. Out steps a white man, Roy Courtside. He is wearing slacks and a tweed blazer. There is a rolled-up newspaper in his hand. The white man in the suit walks up to the white boy, who has just made another basket.
You're pretty good with that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Chip not stopping, dribbling, or shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the new coach for the high school basketball team.
Chip not stopping his dribbling or shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Sure could use a white boy like you on our team.
Dribbling and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You say anything other than, mm-hmm, son?
Kicking bottles as he gets to his feet, Morse.
He ain't your son!
Morse walks up to Roy, his finger extended.
He's my son, he ain't playing for your shit team. He's got a dying mama to help take care of. Now, if your fancy ass will excuse me, I've got to get some ice cream for the boy that I'll show up with at the very inopportune time in his life.
Morse gets in his truck and leaves. Roy turns to Chip.
Well, Chip, if your mama dies and you get some free time, or if she chokes out some motivational speech for to go out there and play for her, you can find me at the gym every day after school. Sure would love to have a white boy like you on the team.
Chip keeps shooting baskets. Roy gets in his car and drives away. Interior. Gymnasium after school. Roy is surrounded by a bunch of white teenage boys. There's a rolled-up newspaper in his hand. The boys are all wearing their basketball uniforms. Roy is wrapping up a speech.
And those are just a few of my own demons that have led me to this town and this crucible of my life. It's my hope that if I can help you white boys rise up and win some games that other white people don't believe you can, well then, maybe I can use that winning to feel whole again and mend the loss of my own son 11 years ago.
But coach, we're just white kids from a small farm town. How can we hope to win?
Yeah, coach, we aren't that good.
You just gotta play like a team.
That's it?
I wasn't finished. You gotta play like a team, and Chip Fairlane needs to walk through that door and join you. And then when you play like a team with one player that is light years better than everyone else, then you can win. And I can forgive myself for the loss of my own white son.
The gym doors open, and in walks Chip.
Did your mom die?
Mm-hmm.
Well, boys, it looks like you're a team.
Then there's a montage. There's a montage of the boys practicing. Everyone on the team passes to Chip. Chip shoots. Chip makes it. There's some running. A couple kids get rebounds. They instantly pass to Chip. Chip shoots and makes it. The boys are playing games against other white kids. There's a tip-off. There's a lot of shots of Chip's shooting. Roy is in front of the bench with a rolled-up newspaper in his hand. He's yelling, "Pass it to Chip!" There's celebrations. Everyone loves that they're winning. Headlines in newspapers read, "Boys on a hot streak." And another reads, "Team wins one solely because of Chip Fairlane." And another says, "Chip Fairlane and local boys playoff bound." Another says, "After stunning win by Chip Fairlane and team, boys are headed to state." Interior. Gymnasium. Night. It's the night before the state championship. Roy has brought the team into the gym where they will be playing. He has a tape measure.
Someone go measure the height of that hoop.
Some random teammate does it.
What's the height?
10 feet, sir.
You're goddamn right it is. Think about that for tomorrow, boys.
I don't understand, sir. What's the point? Hasn't it always been 10 feet?
Exactly. So play the same you've always played.
Yeah, but that doesn't really make us feel like we could play any better or motivate us to play with any more motivation.
You're right. I guess I just pointed out a fact that everybody already knew, and I haven't really done anything to help step up to that occasion. I guess what I was just trying to say is that life just is what it is, and the rules don't change from one day to the next. If you're fucked up today, you'll probably fuck up tomorrow, too. Now, you go out there and remember that no matter what you do or try to do, it'll always be the same. 10 feet. Nothing changes.
Interior. Gymnasium. Day. It's the state championship, and the team is down by one. Chip is on the foul line. There's no time left on the clock. Roy is pacing with a rolled-up newspaper in his hand. The entire gym is silent as Chip dribbles the ball. He's in motion to take a shot when the gym doors open and in steps his dad, Morse.
Who wants ice cream?
Morse is drunk. The ice cream is melted and it's leaking onto the floor. The commotion startled Chip and he misses. Roy is furious.
Get him out of here!
Some of the random bench team members escort Morse out. Play resumes. Chip has changed. He seems unnerved. He looks at the door where his father just stood. Ice cream is on the floor. Chip looks back to the hoop, then back to the door.
Come on, son. We got to go. Take your shot.
Chip listens to the referee, squares up to take the tying shot or lose the game. He dribbles twice, looks back to the door, dribbles again. Chip says to himself,
"It'll always be the same. Nothing changes."
Chip takes the shot and we hold on his face. He reveals nothing. Blackout. Because I don't know if they won or
win either.
Or lose.
If it's one of those movies where they losing is the real winning.
Right. I have no idea if they win or lose state. And also, I don't know that it matters.
I don't think it matters. In the long run, you know, what is state?
There's a lot about this movie I like remember or for some reason or know, but I know I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have, I know that he makes them. Are we? Do we just delve in? Can I delve
in? Let's do it. Yeah.
Like I know that he makes them measure the height of the hoop to show them. Yes, to show them that like that you know because they're in a huge place playing for state, like I don't know, University of Indiana University campus or whatever, and so he's like showing them like. It was 10 feet at our gym. It's 10 feet where you practiced. It's 10 feet no matter where you go. Okay. Don't let this moment be bigger than it needs to be. Which
I
is
thought
actually...
you came up with that incredible metaphor.
Which, no, he does it in a positive way, but I ended up like, so you're not really, you're not giving us anything. You're just saying we're just as likely to win or lose as we were, which I guess can kind of be a positive. Like he's trying to take the air out of it.
Yeah.
But I was always like, yep,
but it's not like a win. It's not really a win one for the Gipper speech.
No.
It's but, there is no Gipper.
But maybe it is when you watch it. All I know is that he made them measure it. And also, full disclosure, I feel like there's something wrong. Like the kid doesn't talk or doesn't want to play. I don't really know. This is what happens when you've never seen it. And so.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I just kind of superimposed what happened to Whitey in Follow Me, Boys. Yeah. Have you guys seen that movie?
You nailed it with the father, and he doesn't want to play, and And the hoop thing.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
I think the hoop thing, that's probably at every, like, Gene Hackman, like, career retrospective.
Yeah,
because it's about to be, like, his Any Given Sunday
I thought
speech.
You were going to say it was in every Gene Hackman movie. It's like, you remember in Royal Tenenbaums when he measures the tennis net, and he's like, Richie, it's the same tennis net.
But does he measure it, or does he have someone else measure it? I think he measures
think
it,
he
right?
Measures
he goes
it,
up a ladder or something, and he's like, 10 feet, boys.
Yeah, or he's always carrying around a 6-foot ruler with him.
Yeah. In my mind, for some reason in that movie, he has a rolled up paper with him all the time. And he does.
Like,
does
he
really?
Yeah.
Wait.
I was like, that might just be a Gene Hackman thing that I'm taking from the French Connection.
It's like when Brad Pitt likes to eat in movies because Gene Hackman just must keep up with the news.
So he
carries around a newspaper in every shot.
And there's like a. Like, I felt like there's. I'm like, I think there's some deal where. The kid doesn't want to play, and I'm like, I don't know. He either has a drunk dad or a dead, dying mom or both, and he also, he never speaks, right?
Right, he has a drunk dad. Gene Hackman goes to his driveway where he's shooting
hoops.
See,
that happens?
Yes. Whoa. He doesn't want to play.
See, I told you, I know a lot about this movie, but I've never seen it.
Also, I think Hoosier, like, set the stereotype for so many sports movies.
Well, okay, but, so Follow Me, Boys is a movie with... The dad from My Three Sons and Flubber, whose name, he's also the judge in My Cousin Vinny.
Robin Williams?
Oh, yes.
McMurray. Fred McMurray, so proud of myself for remembering his name. Fred McMurray plays this like Boy Scout leader. Him and his wife can't have kids, and he leads the Boy Scout in this town because he wants to affect the youth and have a role in children's lives without being able to have any himself. And Kurt Russell's like 11 or 12 years old and plays Whitey. And he kind of takes Whitey under his wing. And Whitey's dad is like a big time drunk.
Yeah.
And his dad does a thing where he shows up to some event or something with ice cream for all the boys. you're still my son. And there's like melted ice. And I was like, I'll just put that.
Like the never around and
it
then
was
the one big
like
grand
that.
Gesture that is misguided
yeah,
anyways.
Yeah, but he was like, he bought the ice cream and then stopped by the bar and then obviously didn't leave. This is like, I gotta go see my boy.
Yeah, it's sort of like Air Bud.
Sure.
Wait, Air Bud's dad shows up?
Air Bud's dad, the clown, shows up and tries to get Air Bud back, but he doesn't understand what Air Bud likes still.
You're a runt.
And he also always has a newspaper. That's what screws him over.
Yeah.
Is he hits that newspaper and it triggers Air Bud. That libtard Air Bud gets triggered and
he can't make 15 footers anymore.
Yeah, and he runs to the other.
More like Air Cook.
Air Bud just comes. Still called Golden Receiver if he's Air Cook.
Yeah.
And he, the whole movie comes out to a judge just saying, we'll let the dog choose.
Really?
Yeah. And so then they line up on opposite ends of a courtroom and the dog gets to pick who his owner is.
Whoa, that's a real Sophie's choice.
Well, what's real crazy is neither of them thought, maybe I'll bring bacon.
Right. It's not that hard to get a dog.
Because the
to
dog
be
would actually, you know, sure they're loyal, but to food first.
Well, you don't know how the justice system works. You're not allowed to bring bacon. You can have.
That's where the phrase comes from, bringing home the bacon, because it can't be in the courtroom.
Right.
So you have to
take it
back
home.
I don't know what.
And I feel like none of the other kids can play. It's all this one kid shooting. And his name is something like...
Jimmy Chitwood.
Yeah. See, I knew it was something...
His name sounds like his dad invented Boy Scouts.
Jimmy Chitwood. So I'm like, I didn't know the name. So I'm like, it's something bad. I was like, Chip Fairlane.
This sounds like what came up with all of the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Is this a real thing, Hoosiers?
It's based on a thing where the underdog team won once.
Yeah, because they're a super small... school,
yeah,
and they make it all the way to like the big, but it's all they like I have in there. Like as long as there's one guy on the team that's light years better than everyone else,
yeah. And but his whether or not he will play is what's up in the air the entire time.
Yeah, so they're literally and figuratively.
Yeah,
does his mom die? There's no mom.
I can't remember.
Do they win?
They beat the All Black team with their famous picket fence play.
Ah,
wait, this is why they play black kids
for the championship.
I wondered why everyone in Indiana loves this movie so much. Still,
it's the birthplace of the KKK.
Can we do some sort of update, like a reboot of this movie with the same cast?
Right. So, yeah, because that's the other thing too. I was like, any memory I have of this movie or any poster I've ever seen, it's just it's all white kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's all white kids playing basketball.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was called Hoosiers. Wait, is this where the word Hoosier?
Yes,
and that's where.
Well, Hoosiers existed before the movie.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a great movie.
I'm sure it's great.
This was just trying to.
I wonder if it holds up. I always wonder with these movies.
It probably does
because a lot of movies,
sports movies, tend to hold up because the sport doesn't change.
Yeah, but a lot of movies depend on when you saw them for the first time, how you view them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know if I've never seen The Goonies. I don't know if I watch The Goonies now, if it would be as important or good as it was when people saw The Goonies.
It's probably still pretty fun.
Yeah. I've never seen, like, E.T. is another one. I don't like
that. I've seen that forever.
And so you wonder if, like, these movies
Stand By Me holds up.
Stand By Me
does. My favorite movie of all time.
Maybe I'll check it out. Yeah. I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah,
and so you wonder if, like, the first time seeing it as an adult, if it'll be as good as if you saw it when you were a kid and then repeat viewings, it would be great.
It might affect you in different ways.
Maybe.
Probably not so much Goonies. But, like, It's a Wonderful Life can really get you at different stages.
Yeah, like, I'm sure if I saw Breakfast at Tiffany's for the first time now, it might not hold up.
Yeah.
It's just the casting decisions. But this... I
hope it's okay. I did, like, a movie summation in 5 pages.
I think it's great.
Okay.
It covered it all. It hit what we needed to hit. What's your all-time great sports movie, then?
Oh, man.
Because I get, like, there's, like, tiers of sports movie to me. Where there's
Miracle's pretty.
That's
great.
What I was gonna, like. Miracle is maybe the best sports movie.
Another
to me,
Kurt Russell movie.
But I can't watch it all the time
because
I get too emotional.
Yeah, Miracle is pretty. Mighty Ducks was pretty good when I was young, and I haven't seen that in a long time. I don't know if that holds up.
Yeah, probably right.
You know, a sports movie that is probably my most recent sports movie that's like worked its way into my all-time love. Everybody Wants Some.
I never even heard of that.
Oh, it's the spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused.
What?
Yeah.
It's a sports
movie. Linklater made this movie. It's about a college baseball team, and it is fucking great. Oh, it's so good.
Dad, I've never even heard of it.
That's another movie
we just did Dazed and Confused on here, too.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Oh, I'm going to go listen to it.
I mean, that came out like 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We really sat on that. For 20 years.
Yeah.
So what sport do you think makes the best movies?
Moneyball's a great sports movie.
There's a lot of good baseball. There's a lot of good boxing.
Oh,
because boxing is a real... I think boxing might have the most great movies.
Vision Quest?
I never even heard of that.
What?
Yeah.
Matthew Modine, Madonna's in it?
Vision Quest. A League of Their Own?
Is a phenomenal... League of Their Own is a great fucking movie. Mm-hmm.
There's great baseball, The Natural,
and
Field
Tom
of Dreams.
Hanks is, and I know this is like a trigger word for other things. I don't care. This is what his character is. He is deplorable in that movie. He's a piece of shit, and he's so fucking good. Yeah. So good.
I don't think anyone's going to hold anything against you for saying Tom Hanks is good at acting.
No, I know. I'm just saying the word deplorable.
Yeah. No, it's, that's great. Baseball, there's 5 all-time baseball movies.
No, that's a good question. Tin Cup. What is the best sport? For sports,
but
movies.
I would say it's boxing or baseball, because boxing,
not football. Football's good because you have so many people who have to do their job.
Yeah, and there's a million different. Like, remember the Titans is 100 personalities.
Yeah,
and everyone's
remember the
is
Titans is
fun.
A great movie.
We watched
the Rookie and Rookie of the Year are both great movies.
Right,
floated.
Well, baseball can be a real solo story because you got a lot of pitchers. You got a lot.
That's what I was gonna say when you said boxing, where I was like, because of that, it's like Million Dollar Baby.
Boxing's just a big metaphor in and of itself.
Yeah. Have you ever competed in a solo sport?
Swimming?
Like, did you wrestle?
No, I guess swimming. Okay. And so that's solo with the team.
Swimming has some of that, though, where it's just me, but... Any like,
oh, you know all those good swimming movies. Swim Fan,
Ryan Lochte's Life,
My Videotape from High School.
Gotta be a good
Ryan Lochte's Instagram that got him suspended for a year.
Does Back to School count as a water based?
I don't think
diving.
There was that one Disney movie called The 13th Year about a swimmer. It came out on my 13th birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, deep cut.
Yeah. I wrestled for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of it's just me against this person is really fucks with your head.
Yeah.
Like boxing.
I mean, even baseball to a lesser extent.
Yeah, baseball's a bunch of individual matchups with like team implications.
Yeah. It's so amazing to me. I wish I could ask a professional baseball player, if honestly, what percentage are you guessing?
Well, I mean, some of it's, you see...
What's probability?
Recognition.
Guessing. It's like gambling. It's like poker, where you're like, in this scenario, with this count, it's most likely in this position they're going to throw that. But
yeah,
you are
and but
guessing.
Then the pitcher also knows the information they know.
Right.
So it's like you're playing a whole
the
game
natural,
of chess at
dude,
once
the
over
natural.
And over again. I mean, I think there's a... I'm gonna just boldly, without thinking about too much, say there's the most... Top tier boxing movies of any sport, but baseball might have the most good movies.
That's probably fair. But somebody's going to yell at us about Rudy.
Major League.
I think Rudy's not that good.
Well, Rudy was offsides.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why. It's the rules. Like, I played a lot of hockey growing up.
Yeah.
And so that's why I never liked Mighty Ducks, because it was like.
But do you like Miracle?
I love Miracle and Slapshot.
I saw myself crying in the back of a theater.
Yeah. Have you watched Slapshot?
Fuck yes.
With Paul Newman wearing a brown leather suit.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
They brought their fucking toys.
Yeah.
And what, the guy...
Slapshot's perfect.
Yeah, that's one of the best sports
movies. Dude, The Goon is great.
Yeah. The Goon is good. Yeah.
Is that with Sean Michael Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people said that was funny.
It is very good. He's great in it.
I didn't mean to literally halt everything by trying to remember.
No, you're not halting it to me.
It's Sean William Scott, isn't it?
It is Sean
Did I say Sean Michael Scott?
No, I don't know.
Because Michael Scott is
Sean
the
Michael
character
Scott.
From The Office.
Yes.
This is a new game where I combine names into one new fictional thing and back end it to make it look like I meant to do it.
Bill Durham? I'm trying to think of other ones people are
just
yelling.
Costner movies. Every Costner movie is a sports.
Yeah.
There's something about just making a baseball movie because it also gives you all of the... It's very slow and allows you to exist in between pitches.
Which is why I love watching it live.
I love baseball. Yep.
Baseball live. Hockey close. Baseball from any seat. Football in your home.
I think that baseball is the exception to the rule that pacing is needed in sports. It's the exception that proves the rule.
Right.
Because it's like going against the grain in perfection.
Right.
Everything else, that's why basketball is so popular now. Basketball is incredible to watch. And why soccer, once you get into soccer, it's so fun because it's constantly flowing movement.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball
that's
is a
hockey.
Series of chess setups.
Yeah, and so is football, but it's just too much information to process if you're there live.
If you're there live, I simultaneously don't understand what's going on and don't understand why they don't score every play.
Yeah.
If I watch football live, I'm like... He's faster. I see him every play.
Yeah, out of all of those sports, football's the only one I'd prefer to watch at home. I feel.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I think that there's a decent debate to be had about how improved sport, like
dodgeball.
I wonder how many more people got into, let's think even like, I don't want to call it second tier, but like less watched sports in America because of high definition. How many people do you think started caring about tennis? How much money do you think tennis players made once it became high definition? You ever watch tennis in standard definition?
Yeah.
Was there a ball in the sport before 2005?
Yeah. You had no idea.
You have no idea.
And hockey hasn't gone up that much in popularity, but HD's had to help. 4K?
I know. My dad
is obsessed
with...
That when they used to light up the puck?
That's when my dad is obsessed with lighting up
the puck.
Anytime a hockey game is on, he doesn't really watch hockey. Kansas City doesn't have a hockey team.
Where are you from?
Outside Kansas City.
Okay, yeah.
And they would... I can't get into Kansas City sports debate. They would
get into it.
If they got a hockey team, they would thrive. They sell out a minor league hockey team 20 miles outside the city.
Wow. What's their mascot?
The Mavericks is the minor league hockey team. I wish it was more fun. Mavericks.
Yeah.
But if you embrace any Kansas City thing when you make a new mascot, like, what are you going to be, like the Beef?
Like, I would watch that.
Yeah, that may be, what are you, the Sauce? The Sauce is a pretty good name, too. Okay, maybe we're right.
But your dad,
every time there's a hockey game on, he goes, you remember that All-Star game where they lit up the puck? That was fun. That's it. That's the whole talk. And then it's on to the next chant, Pawn Stars or whatever.
Man, no, but you've created a good debate here. Which sport has the best movies and which sport makes the best movies?
Because I think that
Rocky,
I think Rocky is the best boxing movie, but I think
Creed is phenomenal.
I think the fighting in Creed is the greatest sports action that's ever been on film.
Yeah. Now, wait. Have you seen Warrior?
No.
Oh, Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy brothers, MMA. That is a phenomenal film. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal film.
I mean, that's what once you're getting into the benefits
it's Tom
of the
Hardy
progress
and Joel Edgerton,
technology,
first of all.
Yeah. This is the fighting in Creed makes other boxing movies look like trash. Like, it makes boxing look fake in
other
movies.
Dude, if you go back and watch, like, Rocky III or Rocky IV and you turn your volume way up, it's violent. I mean, they did a great... They wrote out every single...
Especially 4.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 is like blood... 4, and they also have... There was a Foley artist who had to do Man Dying.
I know!
The Foley artist had to kill Apollo Creed. It's not a spoiler. 50 years later, whenever it came out, but... I like Rocky. I like Sylvester Stallone.
Do you think they had a Foley artist for when Stallone was crying? They had to pipe in the sound effects.
No, that was scripted. He wrote it, so that was definitely all.
What's that movie where the guy was a hockey player and then he takes on figure skating and they try to do the triple something? Something edge.
Oh, with the...
Something edge. The cutting edge.
Probably. I mean, these all sound like movies for ice skating.
It's so good. That's a good movie. It's a figure skating movie and it's great.
Sports movies just really work in the idea that you can either win and it's a successful ending that you like, or you can lose and it's an effective ending that you like.
Right. Spoiler alert. 3, 2, 1. Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the prime example.
Dude, Major League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you lose, you win.
That's great. You end it right there. End the show right there.
You know what? Let's end the show forever right there. we got to, I want to do this thing where, because I love, we have never done sports movies, so we can,
I know, I just wanted a great little transition noise for you.
Get into this stuff all day, because even if you don't like sports, there's something good to be had in sports movies, because it breaks down personality so well.
It's what happens when people who traditionally don't like sports start learning the stories of certain people.
Right.
And then they're like, well, I want them to win. They overcame that much to be here. Be like, yeah, welcome to all of sports. It really comes down to I know what this person's about.
Yeah.
That's why I like them.
That's why the NFL, I think the NBA is the best sport right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it is the best television.
Yeah.
Anyone I know who is into, I don't, anyone who is into like a show like what's like a pulpy reality like Real Housewives should be into the NBA, and I think vice versa.
Right.
Because these are huge personalities behaving in front of cameras and then the NBA just adds outcomes.
Right.
It's incredible. Yeah. Everyone in the NBA is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
whether
yeah.
they're trying to be
no,
or not.
I know.
And every team has wild personalities, and you have dominant figures, and you have, like, passive... And then you have, like, actually legitimately funny people.
Mm-hmm.
If you like reality... Because I think that Real Housewives and stuff I've watched, I think it's so funny and so entertaining.
Yeah.
If you like pulp reality shows, I think the NBA is the best thing you could ever get into.
But, dude, even last week... I don't know when this is going to drop, but we'll just say this summer.
This is just a mock episode we're doing to get the formula down.
No problem. There was a pitcher for the Cardinals, and I might be getting it wrong, but he...
Is Ponce de Leon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he got hit in the head, right, or something? And he had to have brain surgery and then like...
He got hit by a line drive in the head like 15 months ago.
Yep.
And had to have brain surgery.
And come all the way back and put him, you know, that's a lot of like physical work and emotional work and mental work for yourself, and did all that stuff and put in all the time. And then his first start back this summer, he pitches seven innings of no-hit baseball, and they pulled him out.
And then set him down in the minors the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
But still, like, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Or you look at 2016, right? 2015, Kyle Schwarber playing for the Cubs comes up, hits, you know, does good. Who cares if you do or don't like baseball? He does good in his sport. Yeah. He's a good hitter.
Yeah.
2016, I think it's like the second or fourth game of the 2016 season, blows his entire knee out.
Like in,
gone.
In, it was like the second game of the year in insane fashion.
Gone.
Yeah.
Spends all summer watching the Cubs just rail on everybody, right, winning, and he can't be there for any of it. It was supposed to be his breakout year, and he just keeps working his ass off and working his ass off, and he gets healthy to come back in time for the World Series.
Yeah.
And at least one of, but definitely three games, he is a major contributing factor to why they even win. Is
like,
because
potentially could have been the MVP of the World Series.
Yeah, to have that and to like come back, or like, I'm obviously a Cubs fan, but like Wilson Contreras just got named an All-Star, first time ever All-Star, was the starting catcher is what I'm trying to say, for the All-Star, spent 7 years in the minors.
Well, and there's something
Left his family to immigrate here, learned English, spent 7 years in the minors, then gets called up and becomes the starting catcher for the National League, right? Then, not just that, his first pitch ever in the All-Star game, he hits a home run. And his first pitch ever in the major leagues, a couple of years ago, he hit a home run.
You can't. And we're
when
also
you know those
in,
stories, you, as you a can't Cubs, cheer yeah. for that? I
as a Cubs fan, like specifically,
yeah.
You were in season 108 of a television series.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Called The Cubs Lose.
Right, right.
And even in, you figure in season 100, when it was the best team they'd ever had, that would be the year to win it. Because
right.
season 100, 100th anniversary of the show starting, lose. And then it's, we got to break the whole thing down and recast it and keep it. This sports, sports just have a never-ending show.
Right. And there's just so many times where people be like, if you wrote this, people wouldn't believe it. And that's true. So when you can, when you do that really well into film, it just can translate. And it's all about people.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just most of the time in real life, we're just seeing on the field, but the movie takes it all the way around. And then you see those scenes of Rocky the night before the big fight. You know, remember he goes into the arena and his shorts are the wrong color.
Yeah.
And he says to the guy mopping the floor or whatever, he's like, my shorts are wrong.
That's really good.
And the guy goes, doesn't really matter though, does it? Because it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. Nobody cares about you.
Yeah.
And then he goes home and he's standing there. And this is my favorite line in the history of film. He's standing there. Adrian wakes up and she goes, what is it? And he goes, I can't beat him. And she goes, Apollo? And he goes, yeah. And then she says to him, this is the greatest line in my personal life in the history of film. What are we going to do? Not what are you going to do? Not all that sucks. Not phone it in. Not some phony support. They're such a team.
Yeah.
Even though he's the one in the ring, she says, what are we going to do? It's just, that's fucking life, man.
Yeah, it's great.
And you, everybody deserves to have someone in their life who, when you say you're down, they say, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then you wrap that in sports. That's the fucking, that's good, man.
It's great.
That's good movies.
I think Rocky might be the best sports movie.
It could be.
And it's also, I mean, it's wrapped up in Sylvester Stallone's old, I've never seen Caddyshack. It's wrapped up in like
overrated.
Sylvester Stallone's whole life of he was failing. And
dude,
he sold his dog.
And you know how much he had to pay to get that dog back?
No.
$10,000.
What, he sold it for like $300 to pay rent?
And the guy wouldn't sell it back to him. And the other thing was,
He refused to also sell the screenplay without him starring
right.
in it. And people wanted to buy it.
Which
and he
is
said
what
no.
every one of us who are listening to this or in this room who is a creator should live by. It's yours. And if they want it without you, fuck them. Go be poor.
I'm in the process of that at this exact moment.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll be poor again.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers, I spent my whole life poor. You think I care about going back to being poor?
Yeah.
Oh, I go back to the norm? You think I give a shit about this right now?
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, totally unrelated. I mentioned up top we have a Patreon page for the show if you guys want to subscribe to the Patreon page. Trying to not be poor. No.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
but also, it's your fucking work,
man. But own the thing
man.
That you made. And that was,
it's yours.
There's a whole history.
Well, we don't know if you're right for it. No, you don't understand. I created this, so I'm right for it.
I built this.
That's
so
like me having
again.
A kid that I love the rest of my life. You'd be like, well, we don't know if you're the right dad. I am the fucking dad.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I want to work with it.
Unless the kid sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
then you're like, well, we'll just
kid.
Have it. I can come up with another kid. I'm a good dad. I'm good at coming.
Yeah, just get rid of that kid.
Kyle, I just want to say good luck on your Rocky 7 script.
Write it.
It has Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. It's called Rocky 7.
Yes.
And where they go.
What's in the ring?
What's in the ring? What's in the boxing?
The last thing I want. What's in the boxing? Without you win. Let's leave. The last thing I want to say is, for people who don't know, the other thing about Stallone and Rocky is all of his money was tied in points, right? right? So the movie comes out. It's a hit. He's getting flown everywhere, taken everywhere. He has no money. He has nothing.
Yeah.
And this is back in, you know, the old days of how you fucking get your money. Nothing's electronic. One day, he went out to his mailbox, and there was like a check for like $2.6 million.
Yeah.
And that was it. He literally went from like...
I mean, he banked on himself five times with the movie.
Good for
to
him.
The point of, yeah, to the point of homelessness.
Yeah.
With banking on himself. It's incredible. All right, we gotta do this. This we got in a big rousing. Oh, transition.
Nice.
We got in a big rousing debate on Twitter because I said there's a new movie out that's called Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again,
uh-huh.
And I said that's the greatest title any sequel has ever had,
uh-huh.
And I wasn't sure anything was close because I thought it was incredible.
Yeah,
because
you can say it with enthusiasm or disdain.
I first saw it on a bus stop and thought it was a bit. I was like, did Nathan Fielder make a movie? And no, it's the name of the movie. Because imagine if you didn't call it that, how much the swing and miss would be on whatever you called it. Mm.
Yeah, big
and
time.
So I just tweet something out. I'm like, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is the greatest sequel title. And then between the Twitter for the show and mine, we started getting a big debate about what the best title for a sequel is. And so we have a new segment on the show that doesn't really have a name.
It's okay.
But it is called, tentatively, a debate that has nothing to do with having seen any of the things we're debating.
Nice.
And so it's just going to be surface level, never having seen it debates. And I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I made a giant – is this – this thing's still recording? The camera? Okay. I made a giant dry erase board for us to keep score, but I'll verbalize everything. So I came up with some nominees for the best sequel title.
Okay.
And so I don't know how many, like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And these were taken mostly from Twitter and then ones I could remember. And then I Googled exactly that and there were some. And here's the criteria we're going to take into account when we come up with what the best sequel title is. Number one, is it clever upon
sure.
cleverness? Number two, does it flow well when you speak it?
Right.
Number three, do you remember it even if you've never seen the movie?
Mm.
Number four, this one is the dumbness of the title versus the legitimacy of the movie.
Oh.
So the more legit the movie is,
right.
the funnier it is if they have a dumb title.
Right. Yeah, the wider the gap between the ridiculous of the titleness of the title
exactly.
and the legitimacy
like
of the movie.
Like if there was a modern day BuzzFeed movie called Schindler's Listicle or something like
yeah.
that. I don't
yeah.
know. And,
that's great.
So the sort of dumbness versus seriousness, that's like a – but also like a campy movie on sci-fi can be as dumb as it wants. There's no seriousness level there.
Exactly.
And then the last one is just general pizzazz. What does this give you?
Pizzazz.
And so we're going to rank all five of those. This is – goddamn, this is so dumb now that I'm reading it all out.
Who cares?
So I got the dry erase board. We're going to go down and we're going to see what the best one is.
Okay.
And so everything can have a total score out of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll see which one ranks highest. So let me grab this board.
All right.
All right. So I don't know if I can keep
headphones.
Just
the prop of the board.
Yeah,
is...
no, people are always like, my favorite parts about podcasts are the visuals. And so
I back that 100%.
So you guys...
The amount of times I show videos on Dumb People Town.
Well, the other, yeah, I had so many poster-based games I wanted to play. I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? If everyone will go download from my Dropbox, I have some PNG files to read along.
I just
along.
Love that you know how to use Dropbox because I forget every 10 minutes.
It's like the only thing I pay for.
How the fuck do I access this and how's my storage overload? I never use yeah. it.
It sneaks up on you. So we're going to go we'll go through these.
Okay.
You guys will come to sort of a consensus out of 10
yeah.
for each category.
Okay.
And then you'll have a ranking out of 50.
Okay.
So you can still hear me okay? Right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I took off headphones. I'm like, I took my headphones off. The microphone is broken now because electricity.
I know that feeling. It's like turning your car down, radio down when you're looking for
there's
something.
Some science to you find a parking spot faster if your radio is quiet.
Because you're more attentive?
I don't know. I mean, there's no science actually to it, but there's got to be.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like the train comes faster if you look down the tunnel.
It has to.
Yeah,
and you can fix a firework by looking down the
right.
tube.
Stuff only happens when I'm around, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no world without
yes,
me,
yes,
right?
Truman.
I need to know this.
Yes, Truman.
Okay. So we're going to lead right off with Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Uh-huh.
So ranking this out of cleverness, what would you guys sort of give that out of
zero?
There's
nothing clever about it. Where are we going?
It's but it's
oh wait hold on it's a lyric from
it's
ABBA.
It's a lyric from ABBA.
Yeah, sorry,
that's
that
okay.
That is clever. You know, if you don't know that.
It's not clever.
Hey, for everybody, everybody who's shocked that I didn't instantly recognize an ABBA line, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's but okay.
And if you didn't turn off the podcast, I appreciate you still listening.
Yeah, exactly. Rage turned off.
Oh, they're talking sports movies and ABBA? Yeah.
So we're thinking...
Okay, then that's pretty clever because it is a sequel and it's the line.
Yeah.
So we are going again.
Yeah. So what we were thinking out of 10, we're giving that like a...
That's like a 7, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. If there's a trilogy, is it...
No, someone told me it would be called Mama Thria.
Okay. But if they keep the lyrics, isn't the lyric like...
It would be, here's the next movie.
Yeah.
There probably will be one. So what are we thinking? 7?
Mamma Mia, here we go again. Now, here's the deal. This is what I like to think of it as. Imagine we're in a room thinking of a title.
What will be better than that?
What happened in the room when someone said that? They were done, right? They left.
It was definitely an intern, and someone else definitely took credit for it.
But it ended the conversation. Yeah. Like, they were like, yeah, we're called the Rolling Stones.
For sure.
Like, as soon as you were like, that's it.
Yeah.
That is pretty good, because that would win the room instantly.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia, here we go again. Also, full disclosure, I never realized it was the lyric until this moment.
That's okay.
I didn't even think about it. 8?
8? All right, so we'll give that... All right, we'll give that 8. But I'm just realizing there's 100 numbers we have to come up with for this.
Yeah.
So we got to come up with some sort of speeding this up thing.
Okay, you
all
tell
right,
me.
So here's what we're going to do.
You just say I'll answer.
We'll discuss all of them, and then we'll just come up with an overall ranking out of 50.
Okay.
Flows well, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Think about if it flows well.
No, it doesn't flow that well. Which is weird because it's the lyric, but I not knowing that, I was like, Mamma Mia, here we go again.
You would remember it?
Yeah, you'll remember. It's the song.
Okay. And then the dumbness of it versus the legitimacy of the movie. It is a big release.
It's kind of a dumb movie, though, isn't it?
But when you look down the list further...
Oh, that's true.
And some of them are Gingerbread Man 2, Passion of the Crust.
Yeah, but it's not going to get nominated for anything.
No,
this is a shitty movie.
Right, it's still a sequel.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like The Godfather was called The Grand Godfather.
It's close. That's a close gap for me for how little... value it has as a film and how dumb the movie
and title then just
is.
General pizzazz.
I mean, that's pizzazz.
Yeah.
You're singing a song while naming a movie.
So if we're throwing this all in here, what are you giving this out of 50? Why? I don't know. 50 is a number, right?
You could do that out of 10.
Yeah. Well, then we were going to have some ties.
Yeah, it's a good point. Out of 50, Mamma Mia, here we go again. I feel like I'd give it like a 43.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say 40. It seems like it's got a lot of positives.
All right.
So, yeah.
So that puts us at
1.5.
You can really hear the squeak. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Speaking Very of, like, oh, we didn't get quite rainbow. The squeak yet. All right. Too Fast, Too Furious. Sequel to Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Is it clever?
No.
right?
No, it's not clever. It's so dumb.
Clever slash pun.
I mean, I guess
like
it is because they want you to say T-O-O. You're too fast. Yeah. You're too furious.
Yeah.
I guess I'd give it that like
Does
a
it flow
4.
Well? I think this is like an all-timer for flow.
Yeah, no, it flows really well.
Yeah. And then...
You got double alliteration.
Do you remember this title?
Yeah.
I think about this anytime I hear absolutely. The word too fast.
There's only
He's
three
going
I remember.
Fast,
I remember the Fast
furious.
And the Furious.
Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Sure.
All the only ones
the
I
rest
can't
of them
remember
are like the fierce
run
and the
together.
Fastiest
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Is this the dumbness versus legitimacy of the movie?
It's close together.
Yeah.
It's right?
close together.
It's as dumb as the movie is.
Yeah. But then like you I don't think you're giving enough weight to what is a major studio release trying to make money versus what is a campy sci-fi made for television movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like a legitimate in terms of it being a real film.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
And then what's our... And then think about your pizzazz for Too Fast, Too Furious.
A lot of pizzazz.
There's plenty of pizzazz with it.
I'd right. probably give it like a 36.
36?
I'll say 39.
Because the first thing was working pretty well for it, the 2 T-O-O.
I like it for different reasons, but it's very dumb.
All right. Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, The Squeakquel.
Horrible movie, but... That's a good title.
It's a good title.
It's a really good title.
Yeah.
It's a good title, but it aggravates me. I think just because Alvin and the Chipmunks aggravate me. I think.
See, you can't. You got to separate the title from the art.
Right. People. So think about this. It's Squeakquel's pretty clever.
Yes.
It's a good pun.
I give that like an 8 or 9.
Yeah. If Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, the Squeakquel, the flow is not prestige.
Right.
It's not Too Fast
That's
and Furious.
The full title?
The Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, the Squeakquel.
Horrible flow.
But you do remember it.
Yeah, but do you really, or you just remember the Squeakquel? You're not remembering
I
the
I did
full
only
title.
Just write the Squeakquel.
Like, if you're on Doug Loves Movies, he's like, full title. And you're like, fuck. Alvin.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dumbness the title versus legitimacy of the movie. This might be your right in the middle one. Because this is a major studio release for kids, but it is also as dumb as that gets.
Yeah. And then, they put a lot of work into animating that, too.
Right.
That's not a cheap movie.
Yeah, that's a bunch of people who wanted to work for Pixar.
But it's a great title.
It's a great title. So think about all of it and that's where General pizzazz can push you in one direction.
Pizzazz is not strong. There's not a lot of pizzazz to it.
Yeah. My computer actually typed pizza, just so you know.
But, is there a lot of pizza in it, though?
All right, so what are we going out 50 here for the Squeakquel?
I mean, it's really only losing in one area for me.
Yeah.
And that's pizzazz.
Okay.
So I think I've got to go... And it doesn't flow. That's a knock, too.
Yeah.
So I got to go I got to go 36.
All right.
I'm saying 30. I can't separate.
You hate it?
I can't separate.
You can't do it? That is, the Squeakquel was probably our most.
And it's doing it when you write it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The dry erase board, the Squeakquel. So we got a 33 average for the Squeakquel.
Okay.
All right. This movie, next movie I'd never heard of, but was the most sent to me when I brought up Mamma
Mia.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
It's a meme at this point, the electric boogaloo part.
Yeah, that has... Wait, is this the thing that invented that electric boogaloo?
I assume so, yeah.
Because I always see that when people say it'll be like, this is whatever to electric boogaloo.
And this is Breaking Bad Season 2?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
It's actually Electric Heisenbergaloo. And so just kind of take everything into account, cleverness. It's not really a pun. It did invent this... The pizzazz might be off the charts because it invented what is a meme now. If that's where you'd put, but I don't know anything about this movie.
It's interesting. I know we're not doing this on purpose, but it is going down with every number for me. It'll probably come back up at one of these. But for me, if I add all of it up together, I do not like the way it flows. I don't know anything about the movie based on which I know is not one of your categories. I would probably, I'd put that at like a 30.
30?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the cultural resonance it has either. It's affected too much dialogue in my life.
Okay. You don't like its success.
Yes, exactly.
You hold its own success against it.
Yes.
Okay. That definitely says more about the title than you, for sure.
Oh, yes. Of course. I'm not projecting anything onto this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of so many movies you don't even have on here.
Well, that's all right. That's why I left some space at the bottom.
Nice.
I'm going to say 25.
All right. So we're 27 and a half in.
Yep. And now we're about to say a great title.
All right. And then we're going to kind of, once we get into the campier ones here after this next one, the comedies that are trying to be funny, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Because there's something to be said about it. If it's not outwardly a slapstick comedy having a funny title, that's good.
Right.
All right. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Primo.
48.
Really?
That's great.
How that flow, that's a good flow for you?
Back in the Habit?
Sister Act 2,
we're doing
Back in
it
the
again.
Habit. I never seen Sister Act or Sister Act 2.
Multiple levels here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is great. That's a great title. Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, that's an all-timer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go 47.
In a 48 and a 47?
Mm-hmm.
We got a new...
clubhouse leader to bring back our sports stuff.
It's a young Tiger Woods of titles.
Yeah. He posted a 47 and a half, and he's in the clubhouse right now. But we got some guys who are just turning on the back nine. So speaking of exactly sports. All right. Now we got Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
I don't even think that one, that's not that great.
No.
Airplane 2, the sequel. How much weight do you give it just outwardly calling itself the sequel?
That's the thing. Both of those movies fall in the same category. Like, look, we did 2 because it's a farce. We're a farce.
Okay.
And then the sequel is like, isn't it funny that we didn't make a joke?
I'm crossing them off.
Yeah, I mean, for me, those would both be in the high teens.
They're not even.
Yeah, they cheat on their scorecards.
Yeah, we're not R. Kelly. We're not looking for high teens here. Okay. Why is it that joke couldn't have less to do with the show either?
I know, but it's cultural.
Mm-hmm. Okay. dark horse here.
Yep.
Step up to the streets.
Step up to the
streets. The flow is a 20 out of 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The flow is perfect. Step up to the streets.
The cleverness is a 20 out of 10.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is...
But the movie is could have been, like, on VH1, and like a made by VH1 movie, and you would not have thought much of that. So that number is low, right?
Yeah.
And then pizzazz is strong, too.
Okay, so give us a number here for Step Up to the Streets.
I mean, the number part of my head was 44.
44?
Well, I was going to say 45. Yeah, there's, I don't... It's exactly where it should be for that movie.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know what's crazy? That there may not be no bigger gap between quality of title and movie in the world.
Yeah. You're right.
Because that's an incredible title.
Uh-huh.
That's another one where when someone came up with it, they were like, am I president of whatever company this is now?
Right.
All right. Now we're going to, we got some more campy ones that we're just going to kind of go through, but I don't think are really going to be on our podium here.
Right.
We got Sharknado 2, the second one. Once again, just falls into the Lay's category.
Right. Very.
The self-aware Lay's, I guess we'll call it, or Pringles. Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe the best of all the we're just completely making a joke.
Right.
Gingerbread Man 2, Passion of the Crust.
Now that's a good title.
Okay.
It's not going to get anywhere near our winning.
Yeah.
But it's Gingerbread Man, The Passion of the Crust.
Sure. Is that a again, movie based on coming up with the title?
What's that?
Is that a movie where they came up with the title and wrote backwards?
That's yeah. very possibly.
Yeah, because it's two.
Like, I would give that a 38.
Okay.
What was Gingerbread Man 1? There's no second title for it?
There actually wasn't a first one.
Oh.
No, I have no idea.
It's like returned over. All right,
we're going to give Gingerbread Man a score here then, because then we're getting to my last two, which I think are two silent killers of the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you give Gingerbread Man?
I'm going to say 40. I enjoy it.
So 39, is that where we ended up?
Too Fast, Too Furious, bumped by The Passion of the Crust.
Yeah.
Okay. Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Great title.
Maybe the best movie of any of these.
Whoa. Maybe the best. Back in the Habit.
Yeah, maybe the best first movie of any of these, too. Like, this is, as far as, like, sequels coming out, this is the most important of the sequel. Maybe Too Fast, Too Furious. But, like, movies like Speed was a revolution.
Yeah.
Speed 2, Cruise Control.
That's a great title.
But Tom Cruise isn't in it.
No, but I thought he was.
Yeah, that was my assumption,
I was like,
too.
Oh, Tom Cruise in this is the greatest title of all time. Yeah.
So, good flow.
Yeah. Well, Speed 2 Reeves Control didn't roll off as well as everyone thought it would be. So, what's just your gut instinct here out of 50, having played this?
Speed 2 Cruise Control. 44.
I'm saying 35. I don't...
So, we're going, what's that, 41 and a half? 40 and a half.
Sure.
40 and a half, I think so, yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
Wasn't ever mentioned in the debate online. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Lazy Man.
I love this one.
Really?
I think the success is in you the lazy of it.
You think that cleared the room when the intern whispered to their boss, I still know what you did last summer.
I think based on being kind of like a campy horror movie and having to, it's almost just rebooted to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for me.
I don't think it cleared the room. I think everybody went, oh, that's really good. Then they listed off like 15 more, and they're like, these all still suck.
Yeah, that to me, that's not a killer. I really would give that, like, it flows because it's easy to remember from the last one. Pizzazz is low.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'd probably give that like a 17.
Okay.
I was going to say 30, because I like that they don't have the number 2 in it. They don't reference that it's like, it's not obviously a sequel.
All right. Dishonorable mention here is the biggest swing and miss of all time, which was not pointed out by me, but pointed out by a Twitter user, which was like, the sequel to Now You See Me was not Now You Don't.
Yeah, that was
It was
great.
Now You See Me Too.
Right.
What a miss.
Can I say too, I forgot, or that not that I forgot, but I also thought of when we were doing this. Look Who's Talking To.
Sure.
And Gremlins A New Batch.
Gremlins A New Batch almost made it into the campy area.
Yeah.
Look Who's Talking To. There were so many of them where the two was a different spelling of two that it's hard to beat out some of the other ones.
Yeah, that gets played.
All right, so we review here. We got Sister Act 2 Back in the Habit on top.
Boom!
Step Up to the Streets.
Who'd have thought? When you looked at this list, like, who'd have thought, like, Mamma Mia is coming in at third?
I would have. I still would have put it first. Maybe second. Maybe step. My ranking, I'm putting Step Up to the Streets 1 and then Mamma Mia. But so then we got Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, 3rd. And then we kind of got Speed 2, Cruise Control, Too Fast, Too Furious, Gingerbread Man. And then, you know, everyone kind of bodied him out. We'll post a picture of this and everything. I think this is the new definitive rankings.
I love that. Okay.
Big shout out to Starburns. They're never going to erase that. They said they're actually going to spray that.
Ooh, wow, that's art, man. Yeah, frame it. There.
Jurassic World's pretty good, too. I like that, I think.
Yeah, they've done some fun ones.
But the sequel was actually Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Right, which is not... what's the sequel to It's a Wonderful Life? Like, Bad Economy?
We all die.
Yeah.
guys, we're kind of hitting up to the end here. Oh. We got to get the dad game and get out of here.
Yeah. I'm in.
All right. So we're going to get back around to guess what movie trailer Kyle's dad is describing, having never had heard a movie but only having seen the trailer.
I'm so excited.
And
for
here it is.
Okay. So everything is pretty blue, and he's in the hospital. This guy wants to know where he was sitting. A bunch of shots where everyone is staring at him. Did they all come to the hospital to stare at him? That seems rude. He's eating cereal alone. The narrator has changed. He's staring at his hand, hoping to see the truth.
Whoa. Scrubs the movie?
Yeah, at first I thought The Abyss.
This is probably the hardest one we've ever done.
Butterfly effect?
No. But it's in there.
It's in there.
Yeah, God, I can see some of those images.
Yeah.
It's not Paycheck?
No.
Everybody's
kind of living around the right time.
Everybody sees him in the hospital. It's not While You Were Sleeping?
No.
And the blue. Does that play a big role in it?
I think it's like just got a blue hue. The movie kind of.
Oh, is it Unbreakable?
No. It is Unbreakable.
Oh, oh yeah! My God. I can't believe I got it.
Me neither. I was starting to say it's not, and then I thought of the movie that you said.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It is Unbreakable. Blue hue.
Because color is so important to those movies.
Yeah. Matt, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Talking to us here and everything. Tell everyone where they can find you if you're out on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Capital City INC, and my podcast Profiles in Eccentricity. Every week we chronicle the life of some weirdo or spaz or freak or someone who didn't live by the rules of normal society. It's Profiles in Eccentricity. And also my show Bleak in Review, where we interview a local comedian and some weird character who shows up.
Great. And Dan, cool. Let everyone know what you got.
You can follow me at Daniel Van Kirk on all social media. And you can come see me at the Petaluma Comedy Festival on the 17th and 18th. I'm doing a live Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers on Friday. And then on Saturday, I am headlining a show. I think it's called On Deck. So come out that weekend if you're in and around that area and you want some wine and comedy. We'll take care of you. And then you can listen to me, as I mentioned, on Dumb People Town, Pen Pals with Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel, and my own podcast, Hindsight, where I have creators, comedians, writers, directors, just great people come on, 3 photos from any chapter of their life, and we talk about the context of their life when that photo was taken. It's called Hindsight.
Great. Yeah. Thank you guys for being
here.
Thank you for rewriting Hoosiers. And you guys make sure you check us out, like and review and rate the podcast and everything. It helps us out a great deal if you do that. And if you want to hear some more, remember we have that Patreon page at patreon.com/neverseenit. And have a great day. Thanks, guys.
It's a good show.